Good to be here tonight. I feel like a hypocrite preaching tonight simply because I don't come on Wednesday nights anymore. I need to stay with Marilyn, and she was okay for me tonight. But between her heart issues and her diabetes, I really need to be with her most of the time. And so you pray for her and pray for me. My legs are getting weaker, but my mind is getting weaker too, and that's worse. I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to turn to the book of Acts. And I want you to go to the 11th chapter of the book of Acts tonight. And I want you to look at verses 19 through verse 30. One of my favorite portions of scriptures is in this text. I want you to notice there are three characteristics that are essential to every Christian and every church. I want you to see this tonight. And as we begin to look at verse 19, I want to just drop down right away to verse 21. Then we'll go back with the others. And the hand of the Lord was with them. What a statement. The hand of the Lord was with them. And later on, we'll see that the heart of God was in them. And then thirdly, we'll see a heavy burden from God was upon them. These are the three things that are absolutely essential, I believe, for every Christian to see the hand of God upon them. Now, the hand of God is there when you sense His presence, when you sense His power, when you fulfill His purpose. God had a purpose. You know God has a purpose for you tonight. He has a purpose for every one of us. God had a purpose for all that He does. Now, this purpose that I refer to, it is in the hand of God. The hand of God prepares us for the trials we're going to face. The hand of God that is upon us prepares us for the trials that we face. I want you to notice there in verse 19. Now, when they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. The hand of God, they were scattered abroad. The hand of God was upon them. Now, let me make sure you understand this. Whatever you're going through trials, the hand of God, if you're right with God, if you're close to God, the hand of God is upon you. Do not go through a trial, not sense the presence of God, not sense the power of God, not the sense that God has a purpose. Every trial, God has a purpose before what He's trying to do. So the hand of God prepares us for the trials. They were needed to have the hand of God because the church was persecuted. Now, I believe this, that God wanted to remove the church of Jerusalem out of the comfort zone. I believe when you're going through trials, God wants to remove you out of the comfort zone and place you in a place where you realize God wants to do something. It is the hand of God that prepares us for trials. I like the book of Acts, don't you? Our preacher's pastor is preaching through it. Let me give you a little outline on that book. The sun went up, the Spirit came down, the saints went out, and hallelujah, the sinners came in. Isn't that great? That's not mine, but I'm glad that's the book of Acts. And we're going to see here the saints went out from Jerusalem. After the sun went up and the Spirit came down, and sinners came in. It is the hand of God that only prepares us for trials. It is the hand of God that paves the way for greater things. Little did they know that persecution was going to create a great, tremendous church in Antioch. Antioch was one of three main cities of the Roman Empire. The other two were Rome and Alexandria, God sent them to Antioch. And so God was going to do something very great here. And where did the first missionaries sent? Was it from Jerusalem? No, it was from Antioch. God sent those missionaries out from Antioch. So God allowed that church to be established so that missionaries would be sent out. Now, it is the hand of God that prepares us for trials, whatever they are. How many are going through a trial? If you're not right now, don't worry. One's coming down your pike, coming down your way very soon. It is the hand of God that paves the way for greater things. God has some things for you in store as you go through those trials. And God was going to do something. He was going to establish a great church. Matter of fact, the church of Antioch became the leading church, that area. And we see that. And then the hand of God proclaims the word of God. The hand of God. I want you to notice two statements here. I want you to notice verse 19. Now, when they were scattered abroad upon the persecution, there arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. What, notice these were preaching the word. Would you underline that? You're going to find that here. Look down in verse 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they were come to Antioch, spoke unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now, preaching the Bible, that which is in print, preaching the Lord Jesus in person. The Bible honors the Lord. The Bible is full. M.R. DeHaan used to say that on every page of Scripture, you can see Jesus somewhere. I believe there's a lot of truth in that. I was thinking as the fact here, preaching the Word, preaching the Word. Thank the Lord for your Bible tonight. Thank the God for it. I hope that you do. I was reminiscing when I was thinking of that thought about the Bible. I was thinking of a good man in California. I spent 26 years in California. Get there for my training to a place I don't recommend anymore. But when I finished up and I pastored for 20 years in California, but when I was in training for the ministry, there was a man that I used to go hear preach now and then when he'd hold meetings in other places. You ever hear the name J. Vernon McGee? J. Vernon McGee, I can hear that old gravelly voice right now, and I can hear him. May I say, my beloved, can you hear that? As he would have you preach the word of God. And he would say this, I'll never forget it. He would say, the Bible has the answer to all your questions and the solution to all your problems. He would say that time and time again. And that's exactly what the Bible has, answers any questions that you have, and it certainly solves all the problems. Say, can you prove that? Well, thank you for challenging me tonight. Take your Bible and go to 2 Timothy real quick. 2 Timothy, and as you turn there, I draw your attention there to 2 Timothy 3. And I want you to see this. This book that I have does answer all your questions, solve all your problems about life. You believe that tonight? I hope you do. I want you to know what he has to say about it. Look at verse 15. And that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures. Not just the Scriptures, but the Holy Scriptures. I want you to know tonight that this is a sacred book. You believe that tonight? It's a sacred book. I remember one of the great saints of the past was passing away. He said to his son, bring me the book. He said, Dad, you have over 4,000 or 5,000 volumes in your book. What book? He said, there's only one book that I need, and that's the Bible. And I will say to you how true that is. And so it's a sacred book. And then I want you to notice this, that thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. It's a saving book. You remember when you got saved? You don't do that without the Bible. You don't do that without the book. You do what the Bible tells you to get saved. I can remember so well on 481 Worley Avenue on my knees in Ohio on a warm July night, hot night really, when I accepted Christ because the Scriptures gave me the answer. And so I say to you, it is not only a sacred book, a saving book, it's a Spirit-filled book. Notice he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Isn't that great? Every word in the Bible is inspired by God. Do you believe that tonight and is preserved tonight? I say amen to that. I say hallelujah to that. And then he will make four statements here that I draw your attention to here, and is profitable because Here you find not only the sacred book, a saving book, a spirit-filled book, but a solution to all of our problems and answers to all our questions. First, he says doctrine. Get that. Now, doctrine is the beliefs we need to believe. Amen? Where'd you get your beliefs from? You got it from the book. Oh, I got it from the church. The church got it from the book. And the book is so, it's where you get the answers. So I tell you tonight that's the beliefs we need to believe. Then he says, notice here the second thing, for doctrine. Then he says for reproof. Now, reproof means to see the sins we need to see. How do I know what sin is? Right here. This is how I know it, what it is. And the Holy Spirit then convicts me through His Word. And so we see here, doctrine, the beliefs we need to believe, reproof, the sins we need to see. And He says correction. He gives us the power to correct the wrong things, to make them right. God doesn't only reveal your sins. We're the only religion I know that has a solution. I mean, the solution is Jesus Christ, giving the Holy Spirit leading us and direct us. And then He says, fourthly, instruction. He not only the beliefs we need to believe and the show us the sins we need to see and to correct us the wrong we need to be corrected, but instruction to show us how to live the life we need to live. Isn't that great? We can know how to live. The world doesn't know how to live. Every time I turn the news on, I can't listen to it too long. You know why? Because they're saying things that I don't agree with. But folks, understand this. Sinners are acting like sinners. They just act like sinners. So it doesn't bother me. I just have to say to myself, they're sinners. What bothers me, it bothers God more than me, is when saints act like sinners. Now that's different. So we say to you today, preach the word, for it has the answers to all your problems. Solution, the answer to all your questions and the solutions to all your problems. Preach the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the person the Bible is interested in for us to know about. So He not only preached the book here, He preached the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be in a church that doesn't preach Christ. I have no desire to be there. And if I thank God for our pastors who makes the Lord Jesus Christ preeminent, I rejoice in that. So we see the hand of the Lord was with them. But notice the heart of God was in them. I want you to notice here, as you go back to our text in the book of Acts chapter 11. Draw your attention, if you will, please. Verse 22. And I want you to notice here, the tidings of these things came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. They were going to start this church, and they sent Barnabas. I had to underline that name. Now, that name means one called alongside to help. It's a name given to the word comforter for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. And when the Holy Spirit works through this man, He works through you and I, it's going to bring comfort to others. I thought about there. The heart of God was in them. You know, there are three kinds of hearts found in the Bible. There's a burning heart. I want you to turn with me, go back a little bit. Same guy that wrote Acts wrote Luke. Turn there to the 24th chapter of the book of Luke, if you will, please. And look with me, if you will, please. This is when the disciples were on the road to Emmaus. You know that story is a great story. And after when the Lord appeared to them and He ministered to them, and I want you to notice in verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart what? Burn within us, a heart on fire. Now, you ever have heartburn? This is okay to have holy heartburn. Because the Word of God just stirs your heart and sets you on fire. I pray tonight. And then we have, if you go to the book of Revelation, if you will, please. So that burning heart, that's a dynamic heart, I believe. I mean, it's a heart. You get excited about God. We don't need to sit like a bunch of wooden Indians on Sunday and act like a bunch of wild Indians when we go to a game. Something wrong with that picture. You say, but we don't need to be fanatics. I'd rather, listen, you can calm down a fanatic, but it's harder to raise a dead person. The red church is dead. We don't want to be a dead church. Amen? We want life in our church. And as I go to that third chapter of the book of Revelation, and I want you to notice verse 14, and the angel of the church of Laodicea, write these things, said the Amen. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now that, then he talks, I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I was that thou were cold or hot. He said, because you're what? Lukewarm. Now lukewarm church, whereas a burning heart is a dynamic church. This is a defeated, this is a deceived church. You know, the worst thing that could ever happen to me is to think I'm right with God when I'm not. That everything is going well when it's not. Notice verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, I am need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's the person who is deceived. That's a lukewarm person. Then the cold, that's a dead person. I've had many a funeral in my life and time as a pastor and 54 years in the ministry, and a lot of times I'll touch the dead person. Now, they're never warm because there's no life. They're dead. We don't want to be a dead church. Don't want to be a dead Christian. We don't want to be a deceived Christian who thinks we're all Christ and we're not right and we're not. We certainly want to be a dynamic Christian. But we see here, and we think of those three. So there was the heart, the church. Look with me. Go back to our passage there. And verse 22, then the tidings of chapter 11, things came to the ears of the church. They sent for Barnabas. Again, Barnabas. Oh, what a great man he was. I don't have time to deal with him, but I want to tell you, he was two things I know of for sure. He was a generous giver. Some people have a cirrhosis of the giver, of the liver. No, the giver. They don't want to let go of their money. Listen, we need to understand God needs us to get a hold of us. And so we see here, he was a generous giver. You go to Acts 4, verse 36, when the church took that out here, was that he sold property and gave it to the church. Hallelujah. He also was a grace giver. Go with me to you're in the book of Acts, so go to the ninth chapter, not far away. Go to the ninth chapter. Here's the Apostle Paul getting converted. A great, great chapter. And look at verse, and then when he got converted, no one believed he got converted. I remember in California when I had my first church I pastored some 50-something years ago, and his name was Don, his first name, and I remember when Don got saved. And I began to tell people, Don got saved. Oh, not Don Lemon. No, can't be. And he did come to church and serve the Lord. I figured, but it was a miracle. I could find, it's just as much of a miracle for Don as it is for me. It is for you tonight. I never forget, I have little memories of these things, and when he came to church after a while, I thought I ought to give him something to do. I made a big mistake. I said, Don, you help us tonight, this morning, to take the offering. Well, if you were in that little country church, the pews were up against the wall on this side and up against the walls on the other side, and I got on this side, and the plate, Don passed the plate, and when it came back, nothing was in it. He bent down, grabbed the bag with a tie, and he said, we're going to try this one more time. And boy, people were getting their billfold, nobody looking up, just pulling money out. Now I thought, oh my, oh Lord, help me. I didn't let him take the offering anymore, but he did other things. You see, I look at this and I'm thankful. Thankful for the Barnabases. I hope you can be a Barnabas today. He was certainly that. And I want you to notice, as we go back to our text again there, it was seen not only in a good man. Notice what he's called here in verse 22. and verse 23. And Wuhu, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto him. Now, we find here, look at verse 24, and he was what? It's a good man. I like that. I like for people to think of John Stevens as a good man. I mean, my testimony, his testimony was good. I want you to notice the heart of God was seen in Barney, who's a good man. But the heart of God was also seen in the goals of the church. Go back to verse 23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted all with purpose of heart. Now, underline the word purpose. The word purpose means to set a plan. That's what the word means, to set a plan. And when Barnabas and the church, of course, he goes later and he gets the Apostle Paul, he had planned. He said, in my plans, I got to bring someone who helped me. And Paul the Apostle is going to be the guy that's going to come and do that. And it was important. And so, purpose. And he said to begin to dream. Let me say this to us all. May our dreams, be greater than our memories. Our memories are gone, right? But our dreams, the things we want to do, are still there. Hallelujah for that. I'm 83 and going to be 83 this month and coming up, and I'm not as old as Don. Thank the Lord. But we're getting old, aren't we, Don? We're up there now. And things just don't function. I changed doctors because the doctor kept saying to me, well, you have to understand you're getting old. I already know that. I don't need to be told that by the doctor. But I'm thankful today for the goals that we still can have in life. And I have goals every day. I hope you do. One of them is to spend time in prayer, spend time in the book, spend time meditating on the things of God. Those are some goals we all ought to have every day. Amen? Now, I'm never going to pastor a church again. I don't think that's going to happen. We did 13 entrances in 12 years and had a great time. But our health says no from now on. He had to go. Let me say, it is important to understand what God has done for us, but it is also important to know what God wants us to do for him. What do you plan on doing for God? What do you plan on doing for him? What am I planning on doing for him? So it's seen not only in the good man and a good man, Barnabas, the goals the church had. It says here the purpose of heart, to set a plan. You young people, I like being around you. But think about the plan God has for your life. Very key, amen? Got a lot of years ahead of you. And then, but I notice thirdly, seen in the great name given to them. I want you to see this. Look at verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought Paul. We talked about Paul earlier. The whole year, they assembled themselves together with the church, and taught much people. And the disciples were called what? Christians first, where? Now think with me for a moment. They were called Christians. You know who called them Christians? The non-Christians. They didn't just call each other Christians. The non-Christians, I'm hoping that the people look at John Stevens and said, there's a Christian. The word means Christ-like. The name of Christ glorified in my life. And I pray today that by the way, a Christian, the name is a noun and an adjective. Noun, a Christian, but you can be a Christian Christian. And I want to be a Christian Christian. I want people to say, he lives for the Lord. That was a name given by the unsaved people. More times I'm thankful as I reminisce in my life in the churches I pastored, three of them in 40 years, in the last years we spent interims, but I thought about people who would come to me because somebody recommended, he said, well, that church, those people in that church, they love people. And they'll help you. That's the way it ought to be in our church. But I want you to notice thirdly, as we close this message between now and the next hour, the hand of the Lord was with them, the heart of God was in them, and a heavy burden from God was upon them. Look there in verse 27 through verse 30. In those days there came a prophet from Jerusalem to Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, signifying by the Spirit there would be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. He came with a message. A prophet came. Now, we don't have prophets today. The church is a non-profit organization. We don't have any kind of prophets. We're not here for make profit. Amen? And I remember in California years ago when the guy who was prophesying gave a date. Remember the date that he gave in California? It was going to the end of the end. The Lord was coming back that day. Well, he didn't come back. But he is coming back. We don't know the hour, the message, the prophet. But notice the means by which the need was met. I want you to notice something here. There's two thoughts here I want you to underline as you go down to verse 29 and 30. Verse 29, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined, underline that word, to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. That, of course, was the church of Jerusalem and the other churches. Notice verse 30, which also they did. Underline, they did. What they determined to do, they did. That's good. What they determined to do, they did. Now, this giving here was above their regular giving. You believe in tithing tonight? If you don't believe in tithing, will you stand up and tell us why? But I believe God at times goes beyond that. I believe faith promise is a good example beyond that. I just want to close by taking you to 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. Because if I think not only the message that was given to them, the means which they made to me, they did what they determined to do. But here in 2 Corinthians 8, there are three things that give the model for giving above your tithe. Here they are. I want you to notice verse 2. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, they gave out of their deep poverty. They really couldn't afford it. I was thinking, Marilyn and I, as I was going through college, and I remember we attended a missions conference, and I just said, the Lord just said, give them some money. I got to my billfold, and all I had was a $20 bill, and I'm in college, and I didn't have the money. And I said, I don't even know what the guy preached. I was too arguing with God over that $20 bill. And I said, Lord, you know we have to wait a whole week before we get another check. We were in college studying for the ministry. I was. We had a child at home. And so we gave it anyway because God told me to. And I kind of looked at God in my soul and I said, God, you're in a lot of trouble. What are we going to do the rest of the month, the rest of the week? I got home. That was a Sunday. I got home on Monday. And guess what? A check for $50 back in those days was a lot of money. It was in the mail. I mean, I got Baptistical. I got excited because God is that kind of God. I gave out of our poverty. We just didn't have it. They also gave beyond their means. I want you to notice verse 3. And verse 4, to them, notice there again in verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. Not only gave out of their poverty, but they gave beyond their power. They gave beyond their ability, but not beyond their responsibility. The church said we're going to fulfill this obligation. And then thirdly, they gave to prove their love. Look over there, if you will, here in verse 8. And I speak, not by commandment, by occasion of the fullness of others, to prove their sincerity. You really love God tonight, you give. Amen? You give. Years ago, you remember when the people would put signs on the back of their car? Stupid things that we'd put on the cars. Remember those days? We don't do that anymore. Not the way I drive. I could never do that, right, Brother Hankey? And one guy, you know, they put, if you love Jesus, tithe. If you love Jesus, honk, that was it. If you love Jesus, honk. Remember that sign? You love people would honk? Another sign I saw, if you love Jesus, Give, any goose can honk. I like that one better. Hallelujah. Prove the sincerity of our love. So we see as we close and Brother Matt comes back up, thank God the hand of God was upon them. The heart of God, the hand of God, heart of God was in them, and a heavenly burden from God was upon them, and God did great things.